Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. My name is Priscilla Leona, and I am producer and host, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment advice show on the internet for career advice on show business worldwide. Now, this show is for you if you're considering your career reality in show business. You can be either considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests provide advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs. Now, guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, novelists, oh my gosh, stump people. It goes on and on. I'm telling you, the list, it's endless, endless. We even throw in a darn entertainment attorney once in a while, because if you make it to the upper echelon, you're going to need an entertainment attorney. So we have one of those on every once in a while. Now, what's special about this show is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, from celebrity status to professional. And then once in a while, we'll have on a novice or a beginner. So that means that we'll definitely have someone on the show who'll be able to answer your show business career questions. Now, if you missed any of the shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, you have to go to our archive page, which is on latalkradio.com. website. So it's latalkradio.com, and you just search for our show title, which is Question Reality, or you can search by my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can listen or download any interview 24 hours a day. All of the Question Reality shows are also available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And you got to get our newly designed free app. It is on the homepage of the latalkradio.com website. It's located on the right-hand side all the way down the bottom of the page. And finally, if you want to be a guest, if you're working professionally in show business and you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on the show to promote yourself, your products, or to help listeners with your sage career advice, we are currently booking for the fall. Now, we are always booked 6 months to a year in advance, so we do suggest that you at least submit. It'll be a while, but at least you'll get a booking date. Now, you do that by going to another website, which is the official website. It is questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com. And you just click the contact list. I can't even talk. It's that damn wild turkey. I've been hitting the bottle hot and heavy today. It's Sunday, so you know that's wild turkey day. Anyone who listens to the show knows I'm going to get the wild turkey out, dust it off, and I got to prep for the show. Anyway, questionrealityradioshow.com, and you go to the contact link and submit, and we will consider you to be on the show. Okay, now, very exciting. I met this lady through a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Mary Lou Belli. She's been on the show. She's a favorite guest on the show. She's been on the show, I think, three times maybe. Her name is Mary Lou Belli. She's a two-time Emmy-winning director. And I was looking for a guest to, I think I was doing a charity show last year, and I wanted to bring some experienced directors to talk about show business, and she referred to lovely ladies. They were absolutely little gorgies. They were gorgeous little things. They were Liz Henlein. I pray that I am pronouncing her name right. She's going to curse me in a minute if I'm not. And then we had a friend of hers. And I don't know if the two of them knew they were coming on together, but it turns out they knew each other and they worked together. And it went fantastic. And as a result, they both agreed to come on the show. Now, one of them is going to be on the show. Liz is going to be joining us, and it's so exciting. She is an award-winning director and cinematographer, and my God, the questions that I have for her, you don't want to miss, because she's going to be focusing on a very, very, very hot topic, which has been coming up lately. It goes through phases. I get emails where people want to know about director questions, and then they want to know about producing or stunts or voiceovers. I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden I'll get 200, 300 emails and they want to know about these particular questions. So it just so happens that she was right on the schedule and I thought, perfect. So if you are an actor, this is a great opportunity, because we are going to be talking to her about providing important career advice on what tools an actor can use to translate director speak, and also what a director is looking for in an actor on the set. Which, if you made it to the set, I would think that you're halfway there, but sometimes it doesn't work out. You do some crazy things on the set. You obviously don't have office etiquette. Yes, office etiquette. No, it's not office, set etiquette. Thank you. Okay, so we'll be talking to Liz in a couple minutes. Now, first, very exciting news. As you know, we had a very dear friend of mine, Michael Ajakwe Jr. He's an Emmy-winning TV producer. He was on the show a couple weeks ago. He's also a four-time NAACP Image Award-winning playwright, theater producer, TV producer, veteran TV comedy writer-producer for Martin, Sister, Sister, Eve. He's also been a writer-producer for TV1's Unsung, which is a music documentary series. He did award-winning profiles on Denise Williams, Ray Parker Jr., Sly and the Family Stone. He's had four plays published, and they're available at Samuel French. My God, it's just endless. What most is exciting is Michael is also the founder of the world's first and most popular web series festival called LAWebFest.com. Now, as you know, if you've been listening to my radio show for years, I was a recipient of an award I won for producer for a web series back in the day called Kid Justice. I'm on my second award. I've won two for producer. Yay, yay, yay. No Emmy or Grammy or Tony, but I will take what I can get. Thank you. But anyway, Michael was the very first person to create, before people even knew what web series were. He was hired to go all over the world and set up the festivals, because people didn't like, web fest, what's going on? What's happening? What is it? Now, he has been very, very lucky all of his life, and this time is no exception. He adapted one of these web series. Now, this is really great for you to hear, because a lot of people really shortchange a web series. They're like, web series, blah, blah. A short film, you're nothing if you can't make a feature film. Well, that is very, 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 you're not really understanding what a web series is and what it can lead to. It is like the new thing. It is like where you go to get from point A to point B. And there have been so many web series that have been picked up by cable shows. It is unbelievable. Like Broad City, Felicia Day, I believe, had one. I can't remember the name of hers, but the list goes on and on. Web series are very hot, and it is what is going on now. Perfect example, Michael successfully adapted his web series into a television series called Beauty and the Baller, and he sold it to international entertainment giant Viacom, and it's going to air on BET cable network next Saturday, July 22nd at 7 and 8 p.m. So put it on the calendar and set your DVR to watch it next week. You can also go to the website. It's on Facebook. It's Beauty and the Baller. So please, you know, if you don't have money to do a feature film, don't let that stop you. Please try. And a web series is a perfect opportunity to do that. You can do it for virtually no money at all. As long as you've got a great story and great actors and a great camera, I'm telling you, your phones can do it. I mean, look at that movie that came out a while back. I can't remember what the name was. It swept at Sundance. It was about the transgender orange. Oh, my God. Liz will probably know what it is. But fantastic web series. And please don't discount it. So, again, next Saturday, July 22nd, 7 and 8, Beauty and the Baller. So, yay for that. Now, next, I was just brought aboard as a judge. As you know, I've been a screener for about 6 years for the Burbank International Film Festival, which I love. I love, love, love screening films. Oh, love it. And I was just brought aboard as a judge for a new online film festival called No Strings Attached eNews.com. Very long name. No Strings Attached eNews.com. Beatrice Davis, who's the president and founder of Sassy Bee Worldwide Productions, started this. And she just asked me this week, and I was just so honored and thrilled. And I'm so looking forward to it. I really am. And just a little bit about No Strings Attached. It's a lifestyle magazine that covers a wide variety of topics, including entertainment, film, television, music, and then in support of writing and storytelling in film, and in the interest of, I guess, growing her magazine, they came up with the idea to hold an online film festival. So they work very, very hard, hours of conference calls, dedication, brainstorming, and then the team launched this online film festival. But they desperately need your help to get the word out. So since this is their first year, they realize there are so many film festivals out there. I mean, there really are. And, you know, they're just a small festival in this big pool. But if you help spread the word, they can evolve the film festival to the next level. So what I loved about it and the reason I decided to become a part of it was this film festival is not only going to highlight amazing films and movies by incredible directors, but they're going to make a difference. And I don't think any film festival is doing this. I could be wrong, but they are going to make a difference by giving back to our veterans by donating $1 from every entry fee and 5% of their sponsorship to this Cheers the Warrior Foundation. Cheers the Warrior Foundation. And that was a really easy decision because two of the people on the team members are former vets. So please, I want to encourage you to support their online film festival. Support the veterans with one simple move, and that's just spread the word. And again, every entry brings one movie and film closer to be a winner. And oh, what's also great is they are offering a distribution deal with Shami Media Group. So you can look them up, Google at Shami Media Group, pretty big. But keep in mind, with every submission and sponsorship they receive, they're able to give money to this charity, and that's what it's all about. That's what got me hook, line, and sinker. So thank you so much for possibly considering doing that. Again, it's No Strings Attached, eNews.com. There you go. And I am finally getting to my darling, gorgeous little Liz. Let me just tell you a little bit about Liz, a little tiny baby bit. We could never encompass what Liz is. We could not. Liz is so many things. But among all the things, she is an award-winning director and a cinematographer. And Liz creates award-winning work that spans feature film, TV commercials, branding promos and photography. And she has directed commercials and branding films for huge brands like global, like Dove, Revlon, Gillette, Maybelline, the Sundance Channel, A&E, Lifetime, and my favorite cosmetics, MAC. I've got 5 MAC eyeliners right now in my purse. She has collaborated with world-renowned artists like Judith Jameson, Daniel Ezrelo, and Rebecca Mendez, and completed an array of photography and video projects for the Wallace Annenberg Foundation and the Desmond Tutu Unity Project. And Liz has also worked extensively in the music industry shooting, and I actually am going to ask her about this because I've heard the word rockumentary. I assume that it's a documentary about rock, but we're going to find out. So rockumentaries, music videos, portraits of artists such as Mary J. Blige, Britney Spears, Incubus, Fishbone, Little Kim, and Lisa Loeb. And her feature film, which was just last year, called Other People's Children, was hailed by Variety magazine as an intriguing debut. And that's huge. If you know Variety magazine to be called an intriguing debut, it's huge, as they say in Jersey. Huge. Y-U-G-E. Huge. It's huge. And it has won multiple awards. In tons of festivals. It won Best Director at the NYLA International Film Festival, Best of the Fest at the Columbia Gorge International Film Festival, the Audience Award at the Fine Arts Film Festival, Best Cinematography Brazza Film Festival, and Best Narrative Film at the Lady Filmmakers Film Festival. Oh, I like that title, the Lady Filmmakers Film Festival. I'm going to check that out. I really like that. It's like Lady Shavers. I like it. Other People's Children can also be seen on iTunes, Amazon, and Flix Premiere. As a director, Liz recently participated in the Sony Viacom and DGA TV Development Director Programs. I'd like to hear more about that. I think I may ask her some questions about that. And she's currently in development on her second feature film. Now, ladies, don't get excited. It's called Getting Tommy Laid. It is not a porn film. Don't be sending me emails. And guys, don't be sending me emails wanting to know more about it because you think it's a porn film. It is not a porn film. It's just a spicy, hot, saucy title. And Liz is going to tell us what it's all about. But basically, it's an experimental VR project. And we'll find out what a VR project is. And a day within the life. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, Liz Henlein.
Oh my God, Priscilla. I am so touched and moved at your enthusiasm.
Well, you know what
I'm so happy
am?
To be on the show.
You know what I am? I'm feeling dizzy right now. I haven't talked that much. And I'm a talker and I haven't talked that much in a long time. I'm going to have to your credits exhaust me. I need a vacation. I need to take a nap just reading off those damn credits, Liz. What is going on? How in the hell have you achieved all that? Because I met you. You're young. You're young. You're hot. You're gorgeous. How the hell did you do all these things at such a young age? How did you do this?
Well, thank you so much, Priscilla. I think in this era, especially, you have to be multi-versed. You can't just be like, I only do commercials, and this is for actors as well, or I only do features, or I only do TV, because that is very limiting. And so I think it's just really about doing either your own personal quality work or getting cool jobs that you really can deliver and elevate, and then crossing genres, because everyone I find in every genre, everybody gets excited about people in other genres. Like in my commercial career, people are really happy that I've done a feature. They're like, oh, that's so cool. Do you want to look at my commercials? Oh, no, we know you can do commercials. So it's it's you have to sort of cross collateralize everything these days. And you can see that with definitely with celebrities that like have makeup lines and shampoo lines. And Jennifer Aniston is a perfect example.
Oh my God, let me just throw my Kardashians in there. People are hating on me because I'm obsessed with the Kardashians. I curse the day I was not born a Kardashian. I am obsessed with them. But that's a perfect example. I mean, my God, these girls, you know, don't sing or dance or act, and they were able to build an empire, and they've got makeup lines and fitness lines, and people think that is too much. But you know what? It is exactly what you have to do today, especially, I'm going to throw it in there, as a female. You got to have a power pack is what I call it. Power pack. You have to be multi-hyphenated. And people who, I think we talked briefly, I think you're from the East Coast as well. I may be wrong, but from where I am, people think, people out here who are multi-hyphenated that they haven't really locked down a job that they want to do. You know, my mother, she's a, you know, OBGYN. She's like, why? That's enough titles. Why do you have to be a producer, a director, an actor, a singer? I'm like, are you kidding? Think about it. On Broadway, if you wanted to be the best, you were called a triple threat. You had to be a singer, an actor, a dancer. Now you really have to do it all. And the more that you do, the more you can control your own destiny. Am I right, Liz?
You're totally on point with that, Priscilla. That is exactly what it's about. And also, you know, being a producer on any of your projects, if you can, is the best seat in the house, because you get to be at the table with the meetings and with the money, basically. And you're not at the mercy as much, although we all, you know, work for the man in some way or another.
That's literal. You're just saying work for the man, but it always comes down to that. Oh, there's always a man back there somewhere hiding in the woods. Now, let me ask you something, Liz. Other people, what I was impressed by with you, one of the many things, I mean, my God, you're just so impressive. I feel like people should bow to you as they're walking towards you, and there should be a fan blowing on you in music. Right? I just feel that about you. But well, one of the things I was most impressed with is other people's children was shot in just 15 days for under $500K. The film received wide distribution to over 35 million homes from Seed and Spark VOD. Now, that is so, so impressive. It really is. I'm more impressed with people who make a killer product for a lower budget than having, I mean, anybody can make a damn film if they got 50 million, 200 million. Yeah, you can do everything. But try making something of a higher production value with a lower budget and to get the recognition that you got. So can we just briefly talk about what Seed and Spark is? Because I've been really promoting this film funding campaign. There's Indiegogo, there's Kickstarter, for people who may not know what it is. I mean, hopefully you do if you're a filmmaker, but these are crowdfunding websites where there is Seed and Spark, and they do things a little differently. Liz, why don't you tell us what that is?
Well, Seed and Spark is a platform that you can put your crowdfunding on and raise money and also have distribution through them. With the Kickstarter and Indiegogo, there's no distribution. They actually can raise money for any type of project on those platforms. Seed and Spark is specifically for filmmakers, and they try to what their idea is, which is a very clever idea, is as you're building your base with raising money, that is the base that's going to be your base that's going to go to the film. And so you want to carry that base all the way through to when you're screening it, or it's online, or it's in a festival or wherever. So then you have a bigger, you know, amount of views and amount of viewers and amount of fans, and that fan base, you know, is what creates dollars.
Yeah, that is a phenomenal I would say road or venue for your film. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit different than Indiegogo and Kickstarter in many ways. And one of them is that they don't just take anyone. You actually have to submit. Am I correct?
Correct. You go through a process. And we didn't raise our money with Seed and Spark. We ended up doing our distribution with them because they were very interested in the film. They felt that they had an audience for it. But they are a great place they're very into collaboration. They're very supportive for the, filmmakers. And giving them tools and tool sets on how to even like set up your site and do all that. Because even just do those money type of raises, going that direction is its own job and own universe. And does take an enormous amount. It's not something you just fling out haphazardly.
Oh, it really is. Oh, I tell you, just because it is not true, if you build it, they will come all the time, because there are so many people who just put it up there on Indiegogo, Kickstarter, and they think that people are going to flock and give them money. No, It is not true. So great website. Everybody check it out. Now, as a TV director, Liz, you were selected and participated in the Sony Pictures Television Diversity Program. And I really love that, because that word stuck out to me, diversity. We have come to know diversity as inclusion of minorities. I have a question for you on that. Does diversity, because I tell you, I see a lot on Actors Access where I think ABC, NBC, they always have these, or they showcases, and they always say something like diversity casting, right? Does diversity casting include people who are handicapped?
I hope it does. I'm not sure if that's what's in the minds of the people that are listening to that for the casting call. In their minds, I think the diversity is of race.
That's what I thought. I'm getting a lot of questions on that. And I tried to send emails. I tried calling. I never got any response back. So I could not give an answer to the people who need to know that. So I thought maybe you would have some
insight
answers
into that. I think if it is something with a physical visual handicap, that would be listed in the description.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
It's very specific.
Well, it really should. I mean, diversity is diversity. It's not just diversity to include, people who are African American or Asian, or which is what we usually think. I mean, it should be Indian people. It should be people of all races and colors and creeds. Mm-hmm. And it should also, I feel, include people who are handicapped. I think they are very underrepresented in the film industry. And there are only a few proud, brave souls that even take that on, such as Speechless. That's the one off the top of my head that I can. The sitcom I can think of with Minnie Driver, and I think that it should really be covered, but that's a whole different topic we won't talk about. Okay, so as of now, Liz said she's not sure. So there you go for the people that emailed me on that. Now, you are an active member of the DGA, Femme Fatales, and Alliance of Women Directors. Being a member of all of these particular groups, do you find that these are ways, obviously you got to be asked to be that, you can't go just joining, so if anybody is thinking they're going to just join because Liz is a member, no, you can't, you got to be asked, and you have to have credibility to get there, so don't get excited, but being a part of these groups, do you feel that I feel these are goals that you should aspire to, because I think that these are ways for you to get more projects. Am I right?
These are great. I mean, for me as a director, these are great groups to network with. They're all different types of, these groups specifically are women filmmakers. So they're all different women filmmakers in different parts of their careers in different genres. Some are TV, some are features, some are both. Lesser commercials, stuff like that. Very few are feature, theater on the West Coast. But they're great groups to just sort of commiserate. The challenge with being a director as opposed to, say, like an actor, directors don't see each other very often because there's only one of you on set. There's not many of you. So it's a wonderful way when you're going to do recon on, like, I'm up for, I don't know, a job at Sony, you have to direct whatever, that I can call and to someone else who's directed on that series and get the lowdown on how's the executive producer, you know, what was the cast
like,
et
cetera.
You're getting the real dealio. So that's what's good. Incredibly important. And it's like, for so long, quote unquote, the boys club has worked for people, or the Velvet Mafia has worked for people. And this is just a different way.
Oh, I don't know what the Velvet Mafia together. Is. I've never heard that. What's the Velvet Mafia?
The Velvet Mafia is like the gay mafia, basically, which is a whole nother mafia in LA as well.
Never heard of that. I gotta Google that after the show. Talk about words I've never heard. I heard that you are a certified Kundalini teacher. What the heck is that? I've never heard of that. What is that?
Kundalini is a very ancient scientific yoga out of India, 5,000 years old. There's a lot of Kundalini classes worldwide. It's sort of the mecca here in LA. And it's a very sciencey-based breath, mantra, and physical yoga that basically elevates your energy and clears your mind and stuff like that. And it's a really, what's very interesting about Kundalini, it's very ancient technology, but it's very adapted. It works really well for the modern times. So
for like
rid yourself of stress or anxiety or,
and you really
feel
need
more
that.
Powerful.
You really, I mean, mm-hmm. A person of your caliber and your upper echelon, you're like a mogul in the business. So you must have like a major stress and anxiety. So you need a lot of Kundalini, whatever. I would imagine you need an outlet. And it's either wear your husband out every night and make him do unholy, ungodly things to you, or go take a Kundalini class. So
exactly.
So what works for me? I don't know. Now, Liz, you have a new company. I hear you're very excited about a new company that you started with one of your best friends from AFI. She's a DP, Anka. Is it Anka Malatinska?
It's hard. Perfect. Yeah. Anka Malatinska.
Thank you.
We both went to the American Film School together, or American Film Institute, and we're both DPs. And we started a sort of high-level company called Fearless Film, and you can look it up at fearlessfilm.co, not .com, .co. And basically what we saw is there's a lack of sharing knowledge in the industry, and people have done that for a reason. So there is this elitist, vertical, I'm the boss, you're the lowly person situation, specifically in the film industry. And we wanted to share knowledge from our experiences and things that we wish people had told us. So we do these sort of high-level, high-end workshops. Some you have to apply to, some are open. And either like in commercials, or we're doing one cinematography for directors and producers to get rid of the fear of the technical and to really get at home with some, things you feel you lack in your skill set, so you can be a powerhouse on set and can, elevate your work to the level that you want to.
Well, I understand that you do that using yogi technology, and it's to break the psychic and emotional barriers to elite storytelling. Now, that sounds exciting, but let's break it down in layman's terms, girl. Specifically, doing this yogi, using yogi technology and breakthrough, what is that? What is that?
Well, that's a little bit of part of it. We use yogic technology incorporated with, say, we'll be at Panavision teaching a half-day workshop with lenses. So we incorporate that it's not just the technical, but you need to sort of open your mind up so you can be creative and not blocked by whatever your fears or psychoses or things are about something to do with filmmaking, that it seeps into your filmmaking. So we sort of bring in our yogic, we're both Kundalini teachers, we bring that in with our elite level of filmmaking skill sets, and then teach workshops that are geared towards, I just taught one all about, you know, how to break into the commercial career, which is something that many commercial directors do not share whatsoever. So we just see that there's some lack there that we want to fill. And then we have also a lot of our good friends who are super talented come in. It's sort of like more like a salon. They'll come in and they'll teach specific things about, like, you know, directing for dance. That's what one of my friends is going to teach, because she's an elite. She comes from being a choreographer. She's a director. She knows how to move that camera to cover dance in a really wonderful way. So, and we also thought that there's not many women. There's all these technical classes, but they're always taught by dudes. And we felt like there needs to be something that's just a little cooler, a little more modern, a little more friendly, but still hardcore information that is taught by chicks.
So you are a film collaborative who you hold high-end filmmaking workshops, mm-hmm. and you break through the psychic and emotional barriers to elite storytelling. But I think at the inception of this conversation, you said that you just couldn't become part of that. You had to apply. And is it like a process? Like, just anyone get what? How could we join it? I mean, it sounds like you really have to be at an upper echelon level to even get in, right?
Not at all. I mean, we have a couple of things that you apply to, which are longer court, like, because most people, their biggest challenge is that they need footage for their reel. And they don't know how to produce that for themselves. How do I get a spec spot on my reel? How do I get a web series? Not that we're going to do that long, but we have sort of longer form workshops that we want to definitely curate who the talent is on that, because of maybe be just like 10 people there. So we want it to be a really good, strong group. So you just, it's not that you have to have a lot of experience. It's more for that you have to have a vision of what you want to be doing.
So am I, Liz? Who am I if I'm sitting in a class with one of your workshops? Who am I? I'm a director. I'm an actor. I'm a producer. Who am I?
Well, in the last couple workshops that we've done, I've had all these people from reality TV that were producers or editors from reality that want to do narrative. I've had DPs in the class. I've had editors. I have had actors who want to cross over into directing. It's sort of like a bunch where I've had directors that are one of up their skill set in their game.
Okay. And so it's open.
It crosses over pretty much.
How does one apply or begin?
You just go to fearlessfilm.co.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our website. And on there, we have a couple workshops. The one that we're doing, we do probably one a month, and we never repeat really what we do. So it's sort of, that's why it's like a one-off, either you get it or you don't. But we're going to do one, again, Command Your Craft, cinematography for directors and producers. And how to choose lenses, how to talk to your cinematographer, what kind of camera would you want to use for a show? What would one need? Just like sort of those overriding questions that no one will answer for you.
So I would probably not take your class if I were, say, a beginning filmmaker, like if I was still making films on my phone? This would be somebody that would have at least made a couple shows, so they have experience, correct?
I mean, that would be helpful. I mean, we're open to, you know, we're not like a closed society. We just want people that
that can grasp the terms, yeah, and understand and are not going to be wasting their money. Because I imagine that these workshops cost money, and you can find that out on the website. So you don't want to just go spending your money taking one of Liz's workshops, and then you get there and it's too technical. So on this website, do you have basic prerequisites or anything where I would know if I go to the website whether or not I should take the class? You do have all of that, right?
You can look at, and you can look at what they're involved in, and I think then it'll be clear if this is excites you or doesn't.
There you go. So again, check it out. What I liked, before we leave that subject, what interested me in is the description you have. What we have discovered is in the Piscean age, everyone held on tightly to information and codex, blah 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 blah. So that caught me, because I've been studying astrology since I was 12. I'm obsessed with astrology. I basically, at this point in my life, I can look at a person and I can usually narrow it down to what sign they are, at least what, you know, the trio is that they're in, either earth, water, air, or fire. So that's what caught my eye. Is this astrology based at all? Is that why we use the Aquarius and Piscean age kind of thing?
Well, it's more Kundalini based than that, but it's the concept that we were all in a linear Piscean.
I gotta check out this Kundalini stuff, because I mean, you're already hitting all these pop words for me. I'm gonna look this up. I like it. Now, your next project is called Getting Tommy Laid. Please, as I was telling people, not a porn. I understand it's a dark comedy, 6-part limited TV series, which I'll let you tell them about it. But the question that I have for you is, what, and this is for the audience, what do you mean by a comedic 6-part limited TV series? Do you mean a web series? You know, tell us what that means. Tell us what it's about. What does that mean?
Sure. It's called Getting Tommy Laid. I think it'll cover the handicap thing we talked about before. It's about a mother daughter who are taking their 30-year-old autistic twin brother son on a road trip to get him laid.
Oh!
Loses virginity. So it's very dark, funny of our times. And it's about sex, family, and disability, and how they all affect each other.
Oh, that takes on some big themes. I love it. Sex, family, and now disability. That just perked my ears right up through the modern lens. And you got to be excited about that, because I know that you had said that both of your brothers are intellectually disabled, and that you were really tired of the subject matter being treated in an old fashioned way, which is why the series. So, can you tell us a little bit about that? Are you the screenwriter and the director? Why did you write it? What was your motivation?
I think my motivation, I am the director. I'll be the series creator and director and co-writer on it. And I just, having grown up in that world with disability, I just felt that it was really... I never liked to watch any of those movies about that, aside from Rain Man. It was just always about some kid getting sand kicked in their face and crying and beat downs and stuff like that. And having grown up with that, there is a whole level of not every intellectually disabled person is an angel. There are a lot of people, they're very manipulative, a lot of them, because they can get by, because they can fawn off that they can't do everything, which they probably can. And I thought that there's missing a conversation about that. There's also tons of families, celebrity and non-celebrity, that are affected by autism and stuff like that. and haven't really seen a vehicle for that out in the world. And as a limited series, it's like a 6 or 8 part limit that we've had interest in because it's a road trip. It's not going on forever. It is like Feud or any one of those series that's only a one season thing.
Oh, okay. So it's not a web series. What?
No, it would be on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Like an HBO series.
Oh, okay. All right. 6 part limited TV series. Okay. So right now, mm-hmm. what stage are you at? Are you at the development, production?
We're finishing the writing and we have interest. So that's where we're
wow. That is fantastic. So that means that you'll be coming back to promote it. I am excited about that.
Exactly.
Now, is that what you would consider like a personal project because you got so many other things going on with your commercials and directing and that. So this is a love project for you.
This is definitely more of a personal project, but I think it's of the time. I mean, it's sort of like the time is now.
Yeah.
And so it'll be a commercial project, but it's from a personal point of view. Mm. And why it's needed to be out there at this point.
Okay. Now, real quick, I can't believe we got 3 minutes. Can you believe it? It's like we just started. Real quick, as I was telling you, I was watching classic movies the other night. Love classic movies, especially film noir. And there is almost no better laboratory for studying the evolution of film, I feel, over the last century. And as I've been talking to you, I feel like you're girl power, so I love it. I was specifically fascinated by the changing standards for feminine beauty. So, for example, in silence films, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, but in silent films, I felt like sex appeal was innocence. And then when we went into the 40s, I felt that it was worldliness and the ability to accept a man, even if he lived in Casablanca, right? So in the modern era, sexy, I feel, has turned into being ripped. That's what show business seems to be defining as the must to be considered sexy. So even if a woman doesn't have any damn money for a personal trainer, it's like, if you can't afford it, you better get your ass a side job because you need to be ripped. So the biggest change has been behind the scenes, the director. So when you had showmen like Max Sennett, who gave the narrative artist like John Ford, who gave way to revolutionary technicians like George Lucas. Now today, you never know. This is what I hear from actors. You never know who's going to be in the director's chair. And in the last couple years, I have personally worked with directors. I've had them on my radio show. I met them at parties, events, and they got their training in either film school. Some of them had it in improvisation and animation, stand-up comedy, and some in just doing good and bad sitcoms. I mean, it's all over the board. So each director approaches the script differently. So I feel, more importantly, each director has like different expectations and limitations and working with actors. Like back in the old days, you could always, because my aunt was an actress on Broadway, you could always definitely count on directors having a theater background. You could have discussions about, your motivation and your feelings. Well, that is no longer a given. And sometimes the director will say something very confusing to actors. I hear it all the time. Like, one actor said, the director said, well, when are you going to be funny? And then another one's like, can you bend your knees and lean sideways when you talk? It really looks so much better on camera. I was like, are you serious? But so keeping all this in mind, I would like you to tell me what are at least 4 tools that an actor can use to do what I call translate director speak.
Okay. That is hard. Directors speak, if they're not good directors, they definitely speak too much. That's probably the first law of horror, is that a lot of directors overtalk. I mean, the best ones don't. But if as an actor, when a director is coming at you with a list, go with the first one. They'll say, oh, can you change this? Can you do this? Is that, that's not appropriate to do, to give a, an actor list, because people can only do one thing at a time. But go with the first one and say, can we just work on this first? And then let's see how that affects the other things that you would like to change in the performance. That would be my first thing. I think the best thing to do is to try to translate it into motivation for your character. So if the director is asking for more energy, then sort of translate that into an action that your character would be doing that would be more energetic, but per the character, not just being louder, let's say. A lot of directors who don't come from acting backgrounds are very nervous on set and are very nervous with actors. So that said, that's why they will over-talk and give random adjustments that don't make any sense. I would say don't take it personally.
Right.
If the director doesn't come and talk to you first after the, mm-hmm. at the end of the take. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they just forget, or they get so obsessed they want to talk to the DP first or the producer. And if the director doesn't give you an adjustment, keep going the direction you're going.
There you go. That sounds fantastic. That is good. There you go. You got it from Liz Henline herself. Now, that is all the time we have for her today, hopefully. Promise me, and I'm getting a commitment from you right now, you're going to come back when your film is ready.
Yeah.
Yay! Go to Liz's website, Liz Henline, HINLEIN.com. Check out her new company, and you got to take her classes. I may try to get my fat ass over there and take one of her classes, too. It's Fearless Film Company. Fearlessfilm.co, not .com, .co. And she's on Instagram as Liz Henline 1. And look for her show coming out, Getting Tommy Laid. And if you want to check out her skills, because the girl's got skills, go buy her film right now, Other People's Children. It is right there, ready for you to whip out some coins and buy it on Amazon, iTunes, etc. Just Google it. You'll find it. So I want to thank you so much. Didn't it go so fast, Liz?
That did. It was awesome.
Oh, my God.
Such a good job.
People are always so scared when they hear 50 minutes. They're like, oh, my God, what am I going to talk about? You know, it just goes so fast. Well, thank you so much, Liz, for being on. Say goodbye to your fans. You got tons of them. Say goodbye to them.
Bye. Thank you, everyone. Good luck.
Thank you, Liz, for being on. Yeah, thank you for being on the show, and we're going to look forward to checking you out with Getting Tommy Laid, and we'll have her come back next year for that. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see
you next
time.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.